I'd like to call the meeting to order. Mr. Crawford, can you please lead us in the pledge?
Please rise and raise the flag and follow after me, please. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America.
To start the meeting, I truly want to apologize to all the folks in the audience for us being 20 minutes late. It seemed like some things we ran into that we didn't anticipate, but we truly apologize. Announcement of action taken in closed session. Closed session item number 2, the public employee appointment. No action was taken. Number 3, conference with legal counsel, anticipated litigation. Direction given to legal counsel. Student representative to the board, Petra Nabi. Welcome.
Congratulations to Brenly Lopes from MCAA, who won the 7th to 9th grade district spelling bee. Congratulations to Remy Green from MCAA, who won gold for the Scholastic Arts and Writing Award. And from Marysville High School had a kindness week, February 12th through February 15th. Throughout this week, students were encouraged to write kind notes for teachers or friends. During kindness week, leadership put on the annual blood drive. There were many students and staff donating blood to help others. Staff appreciation was a nice note that leadership students wrote to each staff member. All the staff members felt loved and were grateful for the recognition. The next week was FFA week. The students had a dress-up week as well as multiple activities during lunch to increase school spirit. Seniors are planning and looking forward to their trip. Many students are working hard to get the field trip ready to go while the excitement builds. Honor Roll Bowl was this month, and 500-plus students were honored and recognized. Throughout March, there are dress-up days for each day. Lots of students dressing up and showing their school spirit. Next month, MHS is looking forward to the SELC and training the new leaders.
Great. Thank you very much. Next, we have our presentation. Mr. Williams for the Technology Department.
And then I'm going to show you things a little bit differently. Much shorter slideshow than I've ever done, but I'm going to show you much more information than I ever have. And with that, I want to start with my staff. I have an amazing staff. Okay, you can see there's 10 names up there, and I'm going to talk about all of them. There, myself included, there's 11. I do this every time I get up. I'd just like to say that I hopped on the Yuba City webpage today. They've got 25 people in their department that are doing the same thing that the 11 are doing here. So I just want to add that. I've got Richard Deck, database analyst. He's been doing our student information system since before I got here, and I've been here going on 16 years. He is one of the best in the state. He does ARIES. He's transitioned us over to CalPADS. He's fantastic. Fred Polito is our senior network analyst. We have, just so we are a school district, but we are as large as most Fortune 500 companies when it comes to the network and the things we're doing. We've got 222 switches out there that I'm actually requesting upgrades on tonight. We've got 23 different sites. We are very complex. He's also doing Aruba, our wireless, and then our security, Sophos, for antivirus, things like that. Ruta Nelson is our computer web technician. She's also our Google domain administrator, and I'm going to show you tonight that Google is huge with us now. We're using it like you would not believe in the amount of data that's going in and out of there, and she's doing a fantastic job with that. Kevin Keith does our Microsoft server stuff. He's our AR and Destiny lead. You'll see kind of what I mean when I say servers, because we're going to get into that too. Raul Oseguera has been with us now for a few years. He is helping with Aries and Calpads. Richard is one of the best in the state, but Richard is letting me know now on a regular basis that he's getting very close to retirement, and just to make sure that we are prepared for when that happens, Raul's been learning some of that, doing a great job. Ramon Hernandez is our telecommunications technician, which has kind of morphed a bit. It's not just our Cisco voice over IP, although we did replace 1,000 phones in the district over the summer, and coming into this school year, every phone was replaced with new phones. But we've got 675 security cameras now that he's monitoring and maintaining on a regular basis. By the time we're done with cameras, that number is going to be well over 1,000. We're going to IP speakers now. I don't know if you've been to Marysville recently, but they now have a very loud PA system that you can hear in the neighborhood. We know that because they've called, but it's working really well, and those are all IP now. Everything's powered over Ethernet. Part of the reason I'm asking for the switches tonight through the E-rate program is because they push out a heck of a lot more power. We're going to have, by the time we're done, it's going to be clocks, speakers, cameras, everything that you don't have to plug in anymore. They actually get their power from the network cable as well. Dan, who's here with us every night, or with you every night at the board meetings, Russell and Jose are our three computer specialists. They are the ones running the school sites all the time, every day. The schools all know who their tech is. They deal with computers, printers, projectors, you name it, they deal with it. Software, whatever it may be. You've got a report in front of you showing that just this year alone, we've handled over 1,300 tech tickets, and that's just the ones that get into the system, not the ones that they're grabbed in when they're at a school site and there's five more things to do. And then Derek Thomas is our technology assistant. He runs the front desk. He's in charge of monitoring all of the Verizon accounts that we have for our for all of our staff, and manages our Adobe, as well as helps out here at the district office and some of the local schools with some of the similar things that the computer specialists are doing. I have a really good staff. They make the department work. I am very, very lucky to have them. And with that, now I'm going to get to the fun stuff. Okay, so what I'm going to do tonight is, instead of just walking through a slides with a bunch of numbers, I'm going to log into some of the stuff that we do on a daily basis. I'm going to show you the things that we actually do. And I'm going to start with Aries. And the reason I'm going to start with Aries is because that also is on the, let me go back here and just get into their demo site. That also is on the agenda for tonight, a couple of improvements, additional features in Aries that I'm requesting. One of them is Aries Analytics. Aries Analytics, we have some of the basic dashboard stuff now. Oh, it's gonna, let me get 1 second here. Go back to their demo site and put their admin password back in. While I'm doing that. And let's see if it's gonna log me in, probably not. There we go. What Aries is going to do for us, especially on the analytics, it's gonna allow us to start really truly tracking data that's in our Aries system better than we have in the past. We have some of the free stuff that they have now. It's things like this. This is just absences, but you can see all of the different dashboards we have. There is an SBAC dashboard where we can easily click and take a look at by school or by district as a whole. Students, are they exceeding? Are they approaching? Where are they at on SBAC? By purchasing the additional Aries Analytics, we can start building our own dashboards, and we can start tracking our own and putting our own requirements into the system. One of the areas where that's going to be really, really nice is now that we've got some changing requirements for college and career readiness, they have built in a CCI indicator, and we'll be able to start tracking this. And on this, on a real quick, a counselor at a high school can take a look at a student to see where are they at on Measure A to G. Have they completed it? What about on SBAC? They haven't completed it. I can scroll down and take a look. And we can start tracking this on a dashboard so that on a daily basis, the district level, the site level, we'll be able to start seeing that information. Aries is going to be, we're going to use it more than we already are, and we're using it all the time. I kind of ran a quick little query today. In the last 3 weeks alone, we've had, I want to say it was somewhere in the range of, I believe, 7 million transactions that have gone in, just with different things that have had to go on. The other thing that I've asked for is Aries Communications. I'm not going to click on that one just because it kind of takes in, their demo doesn't work great, but Aries Communications is going to replace our school messenger. Aries Communications is going to allow the district, the school, down to the teacher level to communicate with parents and students in a much more effective manner. The Aries portal that they log in now, communications will be tied directly to it. For parents as well, parents log into Aries to check grades, to check attendance. They'll see all the communication messages that are there. They're building into the new teacher app a discipline kind of system that works very similar to what some of our districts are using now, or some of the sites are using now for like ClassDojo, where Aries can now do that directly within ClassDojo. And some of the negative things that go in that can be pushed straight to admin, so it can start, say, a referral process and be escalated that if it needs to be. Teachers can do it all through their app. Parents will see it all through the app as well. Very, very easy for them. And the beauty of it is every single piece of communication that goes through that is archived, so we always have that to go back and see what was said, what was done. So those are, that's the first thing. So that's Aries. Okay, let me switch now. I mentioned earlier that we've got Kevin, he does our servers, and what exactly does that mean? And I have come to you before asking for money for a Blade system, and really, what does that mean? This is the Blade system. This is actually an image of something that's right upstairs in a room behind you that's running right now, and this is live. I can actually click on this particular Blade, which I'm on, and I can tell you what the status is as far as what the internal temperature is. If you were standing upstairs right now, you would see a little blue light on that Blade pop up and show me. The bottom here is the back of it. The system itself is a box, about so big, weighs more than I'm willing to try to lift on my own, and runs all the time, fully redundant. If I lose a Blade, I can easily swap out, throw a new one in. Everything about it is redundant, as long as there's power to it. Everything else I can handle. What does that do for us? Well, that puts us into this. This is our VM environment. This is our virtual environment. Right here, I've got the five hosts. So one of the hosts I was just on is this one here. And I can tell you on this one here, over on the right, it's hard to see here. Let me see if I can just kind of get a little bit larger for you. All right. I can see where I'm at CPU-wise. I can see how much memory I'm using. There's quite a bit on this one, actually. I'm taking up quite a bit of the RAM that's there. I think what I'd like to do is actually change that thing about this system, and just so you can see here, those five blades are hosting all of these different servers. These are all different servers that we run for our Aries, for our escape system, for our domains that we have, for our file servers. We've got over 45 servers on there right now that are running on those five blades. And so when I say Kevin's working on servers, there's a lot of patch management, there's a lot of server updates, there's a lot. But we can run all 45 of those, where we used to have to buy 45 separate boxes. Now I just have that one. It's really easy to use. I can real quickly, just like in this particular case, I'm going to find this DHCP server. And if I can click on it, I'm going to say, let's go here and migrate. And I'm just real quick, close this down a little bit. Okay, I'm going to move it. I know one didn't have anywhere near as much going on, so I'm going to move it. And just like that, I just took that server and took it off of the fourth blade and put it on the first blade. And if you were in that server right now, you'd never know what even happened. It happens live, doesn't shut down, there's nothing there. It's really great for maintenance. It allows us to take everything off of one particular blade at a time if I have to do firmware updates or whatever. It's that easy to work with. It's very, very convenient, and it really gives us a lot of flexibility. So those are the VMs that we use. Okay, now let's switch over and get into some more cool stuff. Let's see here. This here is Airwave. Airwave is our Wi-Fi system. This is the wireless that we've got going on right now. You can see by looking up here at the top, and I'll make it a little bit bigger again, we currently have 670 wireless devices that are in our district. That's controllers and actual access points. You can see that we've got 16 that are down. There were 13 down yesterday, so we had 3 new problems today. And so, but we know that, so we're working on trying to figure out what that is. Some of those are expected. We have some that we use just for testing. Some of those are not. But this is what we're seeing. I can see on a daily, for instance, today, I can see that at one point today, it looks like I had 3,600 clients on our system all at once. I had 3,600 devices at one time. You know, we've got 10,000 Chromebooks in the district, but they're not all on all the time. But we get up to 3,000, 3,600, 4,000. When it's testing time, the numbers are huge. I can see the amount of data that's going through it. We can actually do some traffic analysis on what that data is. This is stuff that we're looking at all the time just to see what's going on with the Wi-Fi system, and it tells us the second there's a problem. Thing about this, we have it now, other than the district office, everywhere else in the district, every room, at least every classroom, has its own access point, which means that if we do have 3 go down that we didn't have down tomorrow, they're still covered. We didn't lose Wi-Fi there. We just want to make sure we get out there to make sure that we improve the quality of it to the highest level possible. So we want to get out there and take care of those three real quickly. But please don't think it means that we lost them. We lost coverage in those areas. Okay, moving on from that, let's go into this one. This is one that you recently approved, and this is my favorite one of the whole thing, to be honest with you. Let's see here. This is the new firewall. This is the one that protects us the most, and you have a report that I handed to you, and it goes through just some of the stuff. You'll see some things in there that may not make any sense, like there's 81 SaaS application. SaaS is software as a service. It's kind of your Google apps. If you go to Google Drive or something, it's software that we're not hosting. It shows up in here because we're not hosting it, which means we don't have total control over it. But we want to make sure we're looking at it all the time. This is the stuff that we're looking at all the time. You'll see in that report that it talks about some vulnerabilities, it talks about some threats. Just because it shows a threat, that's not necessarily a bad thing. Doesn't mean it's a good thing, but what this report does is, okay, now we need to make sure that we're okay. This is a perfect example I'm looking at. I have two threats, and if I scroll over to the right here, you can see these are critical threats that happened just today. Okay, these are things we need to be worried about. The nice thing is I can take a look right next to it and see what happened, and those packets were dropped. They didn't get through. It recognized them, it saw the vulnerability, and it dropped that packet. Those are the things we want to see. It's good to know. I wish I could say that we were never going to have people trying to get in. I can't say that. They are going to. In fact, I can go to the threat map here, and we've actually improved this quite a bit. When we first fired this one up, it's been 4 months that we've been using this system now, and when we first fired this up, this particular screen had little dots that went almost over the entire world. This is a threat map. This is what our system has determined, our origins, places where data packets have come in that are some sort of threat level, that our system has said this is where it's come from. You can see right now, there's only four. In the last 30 days, that's only four. That's great. When we got this and we saw all those dots all over there, the very first thing we did is we created a rule that said, if there's a data packet coming to us that originates in any country other than the US or Canada, we don't want it. Don't let it come through. It's the very first thing we did. And I don't want to make it sound like we weren't blocking it before. We were, but we weren't able to see it as well as we can now. We weren't able to make the adjustments as well as we can now. This one here may take just a second longer. This is actually the traffic map. This is where everything kind of goes out. This is the top 10 over the last 6 hours. Let's see if I can get it to load here. And if it doesn't load very quickly, I will just move on. On the outgoing, you're going to get a lot more. We'll say over the last 30 days. And the reason for that is because we allow teachers to connect up their phones, or even students connect up their phones, the amount of different devices we have at any given time can be thousands. They may be running things like Facebook. It's possible. We don't have it blocked everywhere. They could be running certain things, or even some of the game sites that students will run. You'll see now we've got outgoing traffic going to quite a few different countries. Thing about this is most of those are green. They're not anything we need to worry about. And the ones that aren't green are orange, which is medium risk level, but a lot of those are things we know. For instance, if you use the Outlook web for email, okay, that's considered actually a medium risk device because of the way traffic comes in and out, because email's coming in and it can have attachments. So it kind of puts it there. We're 4 months into using this. As we do it more, if we get 6 months in, 8 months in, we'll start to reclassify things a little bit as far as their threat levels, and if we feel that it's trustworthy, that will start to change a little bit, and that's what we're using those reports for. So that's real quick, kind of what we've got going on in the firewall. This has been a really great upgrade. Another thing that has maps, one of the things I did, and some of you have probably seen this, and I know a couple of people in the room have asked me about it before, but someone gets an email that says it's from you and you know you didn't send it. I don't know if you've ever experienced that, but oftentimes when that happens, they're not good emails. Well, a lot of school districts don't do this, but I decided to take it on because I wanted to stop those spoofing emails as much as possible. What I've done is through DNS records online, which is hard to explain, but in essence, what we're doing now is we're putting a signature on every outgoing email, and we're telling all of the servers throughout the world that receive email, yes, that one came from us, or no, it didn't. Okay, it's one thing to just say bwilliams at mjusd.com sent a message, but if you get into the headers or the actual information of that email, and it turns out it was sent from some email server in Russia, that's not us. Just because my name's on it doesn't mean it's. And it's really easy to do that. So what we've done is we put some signature types of information onto all of our emails now, to where we're telling everyone whether or not it came from us. The reason this, it's a lot of work, it's the reason why a lot of school districts don't, you really don't want to have false positives, because what's happening is if an email system gets it and determines that it's not from us, it's going to get rejected straight off. And the policy I have in place will reject, you can see here, we're rejecting about 40% of the ones that we are almost absolutely positive are not. The other 60% are going into spam. So nothing's getting through on these right now. But just an idea, this is over the last 7 days. And over the last 7 days, you can see that just from this one domain alone, we've had 2,000 emails, 2,100 emails sent throughout the world that looked like it was from us. It wasn't from us. In fact, if I click on this here, I can see that this, see, these here came from Pakistan, these 16 came from Thailand, these 16 came from Ireland. They're not us. The nice thing is, if I look over here, those email servers on the other end, they rejected them, or they quarantined them and put them in spam. They know it's not us. Took a lot of work getting this right and a lot of ups and downs, because if there are false positives, that's not good. We don't want to block email that truly is us. But it's working pretty well right now. And you can just see, just in this map here, you can see all the reds. Those are all the different countries that have had at least one email sent that supposedly was us, but actually wasn't. So that's one of the other things we did. And then the last thing I'm going to show you tonight is Google. I talked about Google real quick. The report in here looks like it didn't, I tried to do a snapshot of this, and I don't think it actually printed great, so I'm going to kind of run through it here. This is in the last month. In the last month, we've had 743,000 emails sent. In the last month, we've had 71,000 files put into Google Drive by our kids and our staff. 71,000 in the last month. That's how much it's being used. If I were to click on Classroom right here, Google Classroom is a great way for teachers to dish out information and assignments. Oh, let me log back in. And in the last month, let me get back into Admin Console. Sorry about that, took too long. Where is it? Am I in the wrong one? Yeah, let's do this one. There we go. Let me get back into that. Sorry about that. In the last month, we've had up to, and I will show you here in just a second. Classroom. There we go. Up to almost 400 active classrooms that our teachers are using for their kids to get on. Classroom's just a really great tool for them. They can push work out. We have it now where they can assign an assessment in Illuminate and have it automatically pushed to Google Classroom, so it notifies all the kids of what's happening. It's really worked well, and it ties directly into the Google accounts. It ties directly into the Google Drive. Kids don't have to print anymore. Kids can now collaborate at home through Google Drive, and an assignment that has where there's homework. If it's, hey, work on this report together, you don't have to be in the same room. I know I've said that before. You can have one person at home, two people at home all working at the same time, and when you turn it in, it goes straight to the teacher's classroom. They're using it. The teachers are using it each and every day. It's actually cool. So, and then the last thing is, there's one more report. I'm not going to go into it because I've gone too long already. You've got a report in there that shows light speed. Just so you know, you can see that there were, 3.3 total requests for computers. That's mostly Google. There were 33 million. There's 3.4. That's a 7-day report. That's how many requests we have in 7 days. Just wanted to throw that out there. The system, it's working, and it's absolutely being used. So with that, I know that wasn't a whole lot of slides, but I'm going to go back and say, any questions?
Any questions or comments, board members? I would just say, like to say thank you, Brian, for all the hard work you do in your department with limited resources. I think with our size of our district, you guys do a phenomenal job.
Well, like I said, I'm very lucky to have the staff I do. They make everything work.
I just wanted to say, Brian, I remember when you first came into the district, and I've always been impressed with what you do, and once again, you totally impressed me. Your staff is, just amazing, and thank you for what you guys are doing.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Brian, I would just like to say also as well, you do have an amazing staff, and I would like to say thank you for everything that you do for our school district. I hear so many wonderful things that you all do, and like I sort of miss that working because I know that I was always keeping up with everything, and now I don't do that anymore. But thank you so very much for everything, and especially to your staff.
Thank you. It's my pleasure. And I'm
and
gonna,
I,
I'm gonna,
I would just like to thank you for the help for the guy that's hard of hearing up here. It is such a gift to be able to interact without having to be in somebody's face so I can hear them. So it's phenomenal what you've been able to do, and I just appreciate you and your staff.
Well, I'm glad we were able to find something, so thank you.
Thank you again.
Absolutely. I'm just making sure I log out of everything. If the tech guy doesn't log out, that's rather hypocritical. So, okay.
I would like to apologize to Dr. Ravelis. I think I was so flustered for being 20 minutes late that I neglected to recognize you, our county superintendent, Dr. Ravelis. Thank you for visiting tonight.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Next, we have comments from the board members. Ms. Scott. Mr. Davis.
The only comment I have is I got to visit Linda School. It's sort of in my backyard, and I'm just impressed with just the love and care that goes on there. The principal is phenomenal. We toured her a few classrooms, and we toured her library. The kids were just excited. And so it's just it's hard to describe the feeling that I had when I was there. And the second thing is I sat in on the Kynox safety meeting where they had their orientation with the consultants. And all I can tell you is it really sets you back what can happen, but the expertise that those consultants are providing is on topic. They really try not to scare you, but they certainly help to make you aware of things to be thinking about. So I really appreciate the district enlisting that group because one, they're local, and two, they know a lot of good insights for the school district. Thank you.
Mr. Allison? Mr. Boom? Mr. Fleury? Mr. Crawford? Actually, I do have just a couple items. I want to wish our Spelling Bee winners from our district good luck. I think it's Thursday is the county Spelling Bee. We had six of our students moving forward. And secondly, I would like to thank the maintenance and Lisa Mejia. You might see our boardroom looking a little different today. Hopefully that wasn't stealing your thunder, Dr. Starkey, but
no,
as you can see, we have new pictures from all of our sites and updated information. And Lisa, thank you. Thank you, Dr. Starkey. Thank you for whoever was involved in doing that. Yes.
Angela, I'd like to congratulate you and your team. It just kept on moving from 14th to 10th in the rankings, is that correct?
Yep. We did really well. So that's why I get to speak under the public tonight. I get to speak
public. Oh, awesome.
Unless you want me to tell you about it right now.
You can do it on another slide.
And actually, my third item, I'd like to publicly apologize to Dan. I've been calling you the wrong name for who knows how long. So,
it's the tech guy.
I guess we can get it right, hopefully, from here on out. Opportunity for employee organizations to address the board. Marysville Unified Teachers Association.
So,
So I will make this quick since you're going to get to hear from me again. I mean, thanks for the segue, though, Mr. Boom. That was pretty good. For the Marysville Unified Teachers Association, since this is the last meeting before we have spring break, we just wanted to make sure, because by the time we get to spring break, we're all really ready for the break. And so we just wanted to wish everybody a little relaxation, a little rejuvenation during that week off, safe travels for everybody that gets to go out of town. And also, we also want to thank the tech department and the phenomenal job they do to help us do our jobs every single day. So they are absolutely phenomenal, and especially being in the throes of testing, I don't even want to imagine what things are like in their world, but we will say that we gladly take all of their assistance, but it is very nice to have that to lean back on, to know that when you reach out to the tech department that you are going to get not only a response, but you're going to get assistance and oftentimes a very sympathetic ear to go along with it. So thank you so, so much. And everybody enjoy the spring break.
Operating Engineers, Local Union Number 3, California School Employees Association 326 and 648, Association of Management and Confidential Employees, Supervisory Unit. Next, we have public comments. Persons wishing to address the board are requested to fill out a public comment card before the start of the meeting and give it to the secretary, board president, or the superintendent. The public may address topics not on the agenda item during this section of the agenda or ask that they be heard during the specific agenda item. Comments are limited to a maximum of 3 minutes per speaker, 20 minutes total time. For public input on each item per board bylaw 9323. The Ralph M. Brown Act prevents the Board of Trustees from responding to these comments with the exception of clarifying questions. The California Government Code section 54954.2A states no action or discussion shall be undertaken on any item not appearing on the posted agenda, except that members of a legislative body or its staff may briefly respond to statements made or questions posed by persons exercising their public testimony rights under section 54954.3. So we do have some public comment cards. There was one public comment card that was left over from the last board meeting, and it had five people that were on that. Do you happen to know if you're here? So maybe they didn't return. Our next public comment is Mr. Dan Pingle.
Good evening, Dr. Starkey, board members, Mr. Carrion, Mr. Hodson. You know, to stand in this same spot that Brian, you just stood here, and for me to speak, I was thinking, it's like a farm boy from Iowa hitting the big city. I honestly understood very little of what you said, but I am so totally impressed by the amount of knowledge that you have in your head. It's amazing. It truly is, Brian. And besides that, you have the common knowledge to tell me to turn a computer on and off or plug it and unplug it to get it going again. So thank you very much. I mean, I'm totally impressed, Brian. Totally impressed. The reason I'm here is just with this Oliver School thing, just to try to bring closure and healing. And let's see. Probably the reason I'm here tonight is because an older staff member came up to me Thursday morning and said, is the principal still going to be here next year? My director wants to know if I'm going to be here or not. I said, I honestly do not know. And I guess the question is, when will we know for sure, either yes or no, so we can all bond together again? And the sooner the better, as far as I'm concerned. But last Monday at leadership, Mr. Sullivan said that he and Mrs. Buddha would not be there next year. I, with other staff members, are wondering if that is in stone or if that's not in stone. I guess the only reason I'm here is people are asking me all the time, is he going to be here next year or not? I honestly don't know. I don't know what makes a person here or not. And the sooner the decision would be made one way or the other, I know the people at the school, we're going to bond together very, very tightly. So my question is, when is a permanent decision made? How is it made? Not to you to answer right now, but I mean to get back to the people. And honestly, I thank you, Dr. Starkey, and your Herschel, for hiring me 30 years ago and believing in me. And you board members, I know you got hard. Someday I may be sitting up there in one of your chairs, maybe, but I'm not sure yet. But it's good seeing all you guys here. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next comment card is Angela Stiegel. Angela, welcome back.
Thanks. It's been so long. So I just wanted to come to share with the board the successes of the Marysville High School Academy Decathlon team. We just went to state competition last Thursday through Sunday. We got back Sunday evening, and our team was led by our team captain, Isabella Sorensen, and she led 8 other students, Kiana Myers and Zoe Rosales, Sean Semiroth, Carlos Diego Portillo, Kayla Woods, Chris Moyer, Faith Gresham, and Diana Covington into battle fearlessly. And they represented not only Marysville High School, but Marysville Joint Unified and all of Marysville and Yuba County extremely well. They presented themselves well, they carried themselves well, they were respectful and studied extremely hard. And they went in ranked 14th out of 28 in our division. There were 68 teams overall. And Sean Semiroth managed to win 6 individual medals, and the team had the unending desire to be in the top 10. And so they came in 10th, and the only thing ahead of them are big LA schools, magnet schools, charter schools, art science academies, STEM schools, and so they ended up being the highest ranked NorCal team. And so, of course, I'm extremely proud, and I just wanted to share that with all of you, especially since we just got back on Sunday. So thank you for your time.
Thank you. Congratulations. Next, we have the superintendent's report. Dr. Starkey?
Let me see what I still have on my list. Hard to believe, but it is that time of year again. I have the sign up for the promotion and graduation. We'll start it down here with ladies first. Well, this might be the last year it goes that way, and maybe next year it'll go that way. I did have a request from Rick Wise. I was fairly certain that you would approve of this idea, but he wanted to make sure you were all okay with it. And what he would like to do is request permission from the board to rename the Yuba Gardens Boys Basketball Tournament in honor of Glenn Harris. So unless there are any objections, I will let Mr. Wise know tomorrow that it is, in fact, a great honor to name that after Mr. Harris.
Dr. Starkey, does it currently have a name, just Yuba Gardens Basketball Tournament?
Pretty much.
Oh, okay. It's not like we're taking somebody's name off to put a
no,
name on.
No, it is a just a generic Yuba Gardens basketball tournament. And as the former assistant principal, she is nodding vigorously that, yes, it is now going to have an official name. So.
Thank you, Ms. Strickland. Okay.
I will let Mr. Wise know. Thank you. That's all.
So we have the routine restricted.
Sorry, that's not my speaking part, but I did delegate. So, Mr. Travis Barnett, if you'd like to come forward and do the report on the routine restricted maintenance activities, the quarterly report, it would be greatly appreciated.
Good evening. And we're up for another 4-month round here, a little update. So we'll go ahead and get started here. Currently, in the last 4 months, we've generated 1,182 work orders, and in the maintenance department, they've been able to close out 1,102 of those. So, busy at work with all the storms and clearing trees and things like that. Some of the kind of the smaller projects, you know, as you guys know, during the winter time, it's kind of our time to keep lights on, toilets flushing, and trees trimmed, storm drains, etc. So, a lot of that stuff you'll see has been a lot of routine maintenance trying to be conducted over winter time to keep everything moving. Some other things, we've been doing a lot of flooring projects around the district. This here is a picture of Browns Valley, which came out gorgeous. We kind of went with this faux wood look, pretty nice, came out nicely. We've been using this at different sites. Lyndhurst High School, maintenance department, guys did a great job. They kind of practiced some of their skills where they're closing off some of those old partitions that go between the C building upstairs. So you'll see the before and after. We're going to continue working on that project as well at Lyndhurst in the C building, trying to close those off and get rid of the old partitions, the accordion doors out there, the accordion walls. We've been around the district changing out water valves, things like that. We've noticed a lot of them are outdated and broken, so when we go to shut things off, they're not shutting down. So we've kind of been making an effort towards that to slowly change out these water valves, water main valves for each site. A couple little things, did a French drain outside of the warehouse. They're having some issues out there, so just kind of little small things. Our BOGA had a couple issues with potholes and things out there, so just kind of leveling things off. So it kind of bring us into the facilities projects that we've got ongoing right now. Lyndhurst Culinary, you'll see that construction started in February. April, we're hoping to order the equipment and the countertops and looking for probably around May 30th for a punch walk and June for DSA closeout. So you'll see in there kind of pictures of what's kind of going on. We've got the windows closed out. We've got maintenance department in there as well, working on the back half of the classroom, kind of leveraging our dollars to go further. So really excited about that one for completion and getting that program up and running in June. So Edgewater, which is the big one that's kind of going, there's a lot going on here. You'll see, you know, we've gone through a lot of, you can see the completed stages here. We went out to bid in February. Bid walk was March 14th, and we're going to be doing bid openings on April 4th. So I kind of want to focus on the April 4th bid opening because we know that we're really against a really tight deadline to try to get this for occupancy towards the end of summer. So you'll notice over here, I want to start construction on that project as soon as possible because every day needs to be accounted for. So you'll see down here at the bottom, April 23rd, to announce the low bidder and hopefully request for ratification. So during April 4th, during the bid opening, we'll get our lowest bids, but as soon as I get those opened, I would like to get the ball rolling immediately just due to this really tight time constraints we have on this project. So obviously we would go with lowest bid and kind of move it forward, but hopefully be able to bring that forth as a ratification at a later date on the 23rd. So Ag Mechanics, everything's rolling smoothly with that. We're on track with construction. We've done our bid walk. Bid opening's been completed. Construction start. We're full swing in that project right now. We're really pushing for a May 15th punch walk. That way we're ready in June to get all that equipment in there. So again, these projects are rolling. We haven't had any hiccups, knock on wood, but I'm really excited about them. If you guys are out and about and you kind of pop your head in to see some of these construction, you'll see everything's in full swing. But moving right along, Marysville High School South Auditorium. Again, there's another one. We've got the units on the roof. They are painting in there. The units have been fired up, so they're going to have heating and air in there. And acoustic panels are going up. Hopefully we'll be done with that one by May 15th as well. So there's all these deadlines we're pushing before June. To get these things buttoned up before we roll into the other projects. So kind of in a nutshell, that's kind of what we have going on for facilities projects that are ongoing. But, you know, you guys have in front of you the facilities master plan we've been working off of. You'll notice it again, it's a working document constantly, working towards creating, you know, putting more money into the deferred maintenance projects and getting those lined out right now. So, we're just plugging away at them. You'll see more projects come forth, as you guys know, as we roll out of this month and we start gearing up for summertime is when you'll start seeing more of the updates come in where you'll see what's been allocated and what projects have been actually assigned to funding sources and things like that. So with that, I thank you guys for your time, and I'd be more than happy to answer any questions you have.
I guess the one question I have was, we in the power outage, did we figure out what that problem was?
Are we talking about here at the district office?
Yes.
Yeah, what it was is there was the main panel, which was connected to the server room. It's probably about 45 years old, and it was a main breaker that ended up popping. It was probably about 25, 30 years old. So again, with a lot of the infrastructure in our school district, those are things that are deferred maintenance project dollars go towards. So we're kind of careful not to allocate all our deferred maintenance and kind of spread it out there on projects right away. But it's things like that. The breaker itself was somewhere around $3,500 just for the part. So, and it was a special order item. So, but yeah, that was just the breaker, old age. Just one of those things with our facilities that we got to keep on and continue to work to upgrade our electrical infrastructure as we move along.
Thank you.
I couldn't give you an exact date off the top of my head. Sorry about that.
Well, it was the same night as the LCAP meeting, whatever our first LCAP meeting was. I don't remember. Any other comments?
Question. You know, a couple years ago, we had the problem with the chiller at Lyndhurst, and you had said there was one chiller that was close to going out. Mm-hmm. Where are we at? Have you checked that chiller? And where are we at on that chiller at Lyndhurst? And how much is that going to cost to replace that? I can remember a couple years ago you said it may be good for another 2 or 3 years, and seems like we're getting to the end of that now.
Yeah, well, every year it's a fingers crossed around this time when we get ready to fire it up. About 2.5 years ago, working with American Chiller, they came and did an assessment on the chiller. They did some rebuilding of it, and they gave us kind of a shelf life of anywhere between 3 to 4 years. So really looking into replacing a chiller can be anywhere from $500,000 to $1 million, depending on the extent of what needs to be replaced without going in and actually, you know, hiring a firm to take everything apart and see what's going on to the underground. With that being said, each year, instead of our maintenance staff or anybody else touching it, we outsource through American Chiller, and they do all our servicing on it. They will fire that chiller up. Each year, at this point, it's kind of a keep your fingers crossed that it fires up and everything is to plan. In the event that it doesn't, again, that's where, like I was saying, we allocate our deferred maintenance dollars, hopefully, to do that. So a lot of the things with funding, it's just kind of balancing and making sure that we don't spend all our money on projects right away. And that's why we were talking about the Tier 1 Facilities Master project list kind of moving around. In the event that something were to happen, I believe that we have the resources at this point to kind of push it through. But I'm not a fortune teller. I can't tell you which day that it's going to go down. We've just been kind of told that it's, you flip the switch, cross your fingers, and we're going to push through. In the event that it doesn't, though, we have American Chiller on standby, kind of with a plan A and a plan B. So at this point, we just know not to fire it up in full swing, and we should be all right.
So we're kind of going to the end of it, chiller.
Yeah, like I said, without being a fortune teller, just going off of going off of what the experts at American Chiller have told us, they just say, you know, it's going to move along, but we obviously can't push it full speed.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. So, Travis, I would just like to say thank you. Again, looking at these work orders for the last 4 months, it looked, you know, 1,182, and we got a majority of those completed. Right. So thank you to you and your staff for making that happen, and again, for, you know, having old facilities and not a lot of money, we make things work pretty well, and I think that's a lot because of you. So thank you very much.
Thank you, and I do have to say it goes with having an excellent staff with maintenance, grounds, custodial. They really all come together as a cohesive team and work together to get these projects done. Obviously, like you said, to reach the goal of these close on these work orders, it's a team effort for sure, so I appreciate that.
I would like to echo Mr. Rasmus's words too. Well done.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
All right.
Next, we have the approval of minutes. If there is no additions or deletions, we'll entertain a motion.
Motion to approve.
Motion by Mr. Crawford. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Ms. Scott. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Seven yes. Next, we have the consent agenda. Are there any items that a board member would like to have pulled from the consent agenda? If not, we'll entertain a motion.
Motion to approve.
Motion by Mr. Crawford. Is there a second? Second by Mr. Davis. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Seven yes. Looks like our last item, meeting adjourned.